This is a message by Pastor Mark Fox of Antioch Community Church in Elon, North Carolina. For other sermons from Antioch, you can visit the church website at antiochchurchnc.org. Now, let's turn our hearts to the Word of God.
Felt it inappropriate to go to 1 Corinthians this morning. We will pick up with that in 2 weeks. I'll be gone next Sunday. Sean will preach. But just pray that the Lord would show me what to share with you. First of all, let me just thank you, all the body of Christ here, for all of your ministry to the Cobbs and the Garcias and the Ablees, the whole family. As you can see, they're all missing this morning as they are continuing to support one another and pray together and grieve together. But I'm thankful for this body of Christ, overwhelming, outpouring. Let's look again at this passage, and I want just to read again verses 34 and 35, and then I'll share some thoughts that I've written down that I'm going to stick close to the notes, and hopefully I'll be able to get through it. Verse 34, and he said this to Mary, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Now, you know what happened after this. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and he was restored to those who loved him, his family, and the family of faith, the family of those who followed Jesus. And that was the easy part, though it seemed to be the most difficult of all for all who were there except Jesus. It seemed impossible that Lazarus would be alive again, but Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And let me just say with assurance that Jesus raised Abraham Peace Cobb from the dead as well. This little baby, just 1 hour old, was passed through the veil from this realm to the next. And Jesus received Abraham, and that is where this little boy will grow up in heaven. We know that, and on that solid ground of faith and assurance we stand. We will see him again, those of us who know the Lord. As King David said, after the death of his newborn son, he got up and washed his face, he stopped fasting. They said, "You were fasting when he was dying, why are you fasting now?" And he said, he's gone, why should I fast? And he said this, "I will go to him, but he will not return to me." We were all grieved by the loss of this precious little baby this week, just as we were grieved not long ago by the loss of Hope Lang and the loss of other babies who were conceived in this body but went to be with the Lord before we ever saw them. We grieve and we weep because we love each other. As Paul wrote about the body of Christ, if one member suffers, all suffer together. I was talking to one of you before church, and you said, "Yeah, I was up 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock this week after this happened because I couldn't sleep. And I just felt like I needed to write, and so I was writing." And he said, "My wife, apparently we were playing tag team because when I went to bed at 3, she got up because she couldn't sleep. Because when one member suffers, we all suffer." Gallons of tears have been shed by the family this week. That family and this family, of whom they are a part. There will be many more in the days ahead as we all grapple with the loss and remember the fresh wounds that it brought to all of our hearts, and we weep again. But let us not grieve or mourn as those who have no hope. Three important truths I want you to see from this text today that Kevin read. I believe these will shepherd us in our grief and help us with our pain. First, I want you to notice in the midst of intense grief, it is the human response to ask why and to seek someone to blame. Say that again. It is the human response to ask why and to seek someone that we can pin this on. Somebody's responsible. Notice that both Mary and Martha said the same thing to Jesus when he arrived outside of Bethany, right? "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." I want to encourage all of us to be very careful with the what-if questions during a time of grief. Again, they're a human tendency. They come into our mind. We can't help that. They're human. We want answers when something like this happens. We want to know what went wrong. And ultimately, we want to know who's at fault. The sisters in Bethany got it right. Jesus was responsible for Lazarus' death. If he'd been there when Lazarus was sick, but not yet dead, he could have healed him. We know that. Without question. The Jews, the ones who were mourning with Mary and went to meet with Jesus outside of Bethany, they got it right too when they said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Yes. Again, without question, he could. In fact, we know the story when Jesus heard Lazarus was sick, he could have healed him right where he was. Jesus did not have to be physically present, did he, to heal someone? We see that in the Gospels. Could have healed him right where he was. That was true of Jesus then, and saints, it is true of Jesus now. We do not know why this precious baby died on Thursday morning, but we know that no one is to blame. It was God's sovereign will. If God is not sovereign at times like this, he's not sovereign at all. If we believe in the sovereignty of God, then we have to trust that this was God's will. Why? We don't know. And that drives us to the next truth. Secondly, in the midst of intense grief, it is the spiritual response to seek the Lord because he loves us. The human response is to ask why, to seek to place blame. But the spiritual response is to seek the Lord because he loves us. And that's what Martha and Mary did, didn't they? They sent word to Jesus when their brother was sick. They went to meet Jesus after their brother had died. They loved Jesus, but more importantly, they knew Jesus loved them. That's why they couldn't understand why their brother had died. We struggle in the same way, asking why the Lord would do such a thing. Perfectly formed, beautiful baby that I got to touch myself and see, and many of you did. Beautiful. How could the Lord do this when we know that the Lord is good and that he loves us? We know the Lord loves David and Elisa. We know the Lord loves their parents and their siblings and all the extended family. We know the Lord loves this church. That's why the human response is to ask why, when the spiritual response must be to run to him. They did what we must do. And I think what we have seen so far, David and Elisa and Don and Mary and John and Deborah and Kelly and Jesus and all of them do. When we are tempted to doubt God's love for us, we need to go to him. We read this story. We see that Jesus was deeply moved by the grief of the people. And we read that Jesus wept. Jesus wept. As many of us have done all week and continue to do, and will do much more ahead. Why did Jesus weep? He did not weep because he didn't know what to do, or because he had let them down by not coming in time. He's feeling regret. Oh, I should have come. No. Or because the whole thing had gone wrong and he never intended for all of this to happen. No. To believe any of that is to doubt the absolute loving sovereignty of our God. Why did Jesus weep? He wept because he loved them. That's why we have wept, and we still weep. We don't weep for Abraham Peace Cobb. He's with the Lord. We weep for David and Lisa. We weep for the family because we love them. The brokenness of this body, this week, our weeping that we've done together is because we love David and Lisa and their families. The weeping and the cards and the meals and the hugs and the ministry of presence is what is and has been and will be needed. Not the answers as to why this happened. We can, we must leave that in the hands of the Lord. And finally, we hold on to this towering truth. Third, in the midst of intense grief, we remember His promise. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." And in fact, Jesus said, He said, He will never die. And you say, wait a minute, Lord, what does that even mean? Surely we're going to die. Abraham Peace Cobb died. We're all going to die. We're all mortal. We're all going to die. What does Jesus mean by that? That death is nothing but a door. That we don't die eternally. We simply move from this realm to the next. We make that step into the presence of Jesus. Jesus told Martha that Lazarus would rise again, and Martha misunderstood that promise to be a reference to the last day when all the dead will rise again, some to life and some to eternal death. And Jesus looked at this dear sister whom he loved and said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And that is the foundation for our faith, the greater reality that when we are with Jesus, we already have resurrection and life. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you have been already resurrected from the dead. That's why you can't die. Oh, your physical body, this shell will break down and it will die, but you won't. It's why we gather every week to sing and pray and preach and give and serve. It's why we hold on to one another during times of grief. And it's why we can rejoice even in the midst of unimaginable suffering. Because in Jesus we have hope for resurrection. And that hope will not disappoint. The human response is to ask why. The spiritual response is to run to the Lord. And the foundation, as Jeff Lang spoke so wonderfully about this morning, if you weren't here, I encourage you to download the Men's Breakfast, where Jeff Lang spoke out of his own hurt and suffering that he and Kate and their family went through in the loss of their daughter 2 years ago. Things that he learned from 1 Peter's book, which was written to the church in the midst of suffering, persecution, and incredible, intense suffering at that time, things he learned. And he said it all comes down to Jesus Christ is the foundation upon which we stand. The gospel is the foundation. And that's where David and Lisa are standing this morning, even in the midst of their hurt and their suffering. They know that the solid rock upon which they stand is Jesus. Though they have been shaken, they have not been knocked off of that rock. The Lord will not allow that to happen. So we turn to Him. So again, I encourage my brothers and sisters, my family of faith, who are so loving and so welcoming and kind and helpful. I know many of you have grieved and mourned and continue to, and you've called and you've visited and you've brought meals, and that will continue. I continue to encourage you. Leave the why questions in the lap of the Lord and rejoice that the Lord is good, that all that He does is good. And this will redound to His glory and to blessing for all of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the truth that we have read this morning from Your word, that You are the resurrection and the life. You spoke that towering truth, that almost unbelievable statement, and then you raised Lazarus from the dead. And then not long after, you went to the cross, suffered for us, and bled and died, and took the penalty for our sin upon yourself on Friday. And then on Sunday, you were raised from the dead yourself. You conquered sin and death in the grave. So, Lord, we commit to you this morning that we trust you, even though we don't understand the suffering. We don't understand the losses that we suffer, whether it's in our family or someone else's. But we know that nothing has taken you by surprise. We know that you know all things, that you are a sovereign God who do all things well. And so we trust you. We continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in the family, the immediate family and the extended family who have suffered this loss and feel it much more deeply than we ever could. And we commit, Lord, to serving them and loving them, being careful not to ask the why questions or to inject our opinions into why we think it could have happened. But Lord, we would allow you to minister to their souls with your peace that passes understanding, and ours as well. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace this morning. Pray your blessing on this body. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Pastor Mark Fox of Antioch Community Church in Elon, North Carolina. Antioch meets every Sunday for worship at 10 o'clock a.m. at 1600 Powerline Road in Elon. You can download other messages by Pastor Fox at antiochchurch.cc. You can also learn how to order his books or subscribe to his blog at jmarkfox.com.